let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, Siegfried Finzer is back with us on This Week in America. Siegfried is a former Waldorf school teacher, managed a division of Xerox, was a director of executive development worldwide for AT&T, a founder of RSF Social Finance, Rudolf Steiner Foundation, a nonprofit financial services organization that has pioneered associative economics by connecting financial transactions with the highest intentions of the human spirit. He's a consultant, frequent lecturer, a BA from Rutgers, MA from New York University, an author. Siegfried has written children's books, plays, and books about money and destiny. A recent guest on This Week in America discussing his novel Collision, and back with us to discuss Lonely Expiation. Siegfried Finzer back with us on This Week in America. Siegfried, it is always a pleasure. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much, Rick. It's a pleasure to chat with you anytime.
It is always fun, and we had a great time discussing Collision. I was so anxious to get the book, Lonely Expiation. And I have to start off with that because you told me about the title, and I thought I was misunderstanding. Explain expiation, what that means.
Well, it's an unusual word. I often ask people, do you know what it means? And almost everybody tells me, no, they don't. And it has... I have my own meaning for it, which is basically to make atonement, to make amends for something. But there is a very old one. I have it right here. It's the sacrifice of expiation is that which tendeth to appease the wrath of God.
Interesting.
And I like that one, too.
Yeah, they both do an adequate job of explaining, and I'm glad I wasn't the only one you asked that stumbled with the definition, not able to tell you what it is. The book is Lonely Expiation. FinzerPublications.com is a direct website. It, of course, is available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and BookVenture/Bookstore.com. You can link onto all of those by going to our website, This Week in America. I mentioned before yes, sir.
I have to add that I went mostly by the sound of it. Do you? I don't know whether you have the same feeling for the sound of words. Expiation has a certain kind of oomph to it that I like, but words have a lot of mystery in them. You know, a lot of wisdom in them. You take a word like insight, which I use in the book as well, but if you can ask it, we all know in a way what it is. But there's a kind of understanding that our normal sight leads to knowledge, but insight leads to wisdom. And, you know, there's a lot in every word that we use.
Yeah, it's interesting. When you mention the word expiation, and I'm looking at it, I'm looking at the book cover and seeing that, even though I initially didn't know what it meant, I like that word. It's got a nice flow to it. It's one of those that sort of sticks in your mind, doesn't it? After you hear it, you may not initially know the definition, but it's a word that's going to stay with you, and you may even try to work into conversation now because it's a nice sounding word. It makes you sound intelligent when you use that word.
Well, I hope someday everybody will know the word because of my book.
Well, yeah, it'll be on the cover of the book they're going to buy next, which is Lonely Expiation. We talked about the book Collision before, and we follow up with a villain in the book. And talk about this character. He's a fascinating character. He's highly successful. He's got all these achievements, but he's really not fulfilled, is he? He is not really satisfied. Explain the character.
Well, he discovered somewhere along the line in his somewhat twisted mind, I think, he discovered that everybody has desires. And when he figured out that by being using his intellect and giving people increased value and profit through his business, that he would satisfy the population. And so he does everything he can so that people will be more and more satisfied with what he does. But in the end, he knows deeply that nobody is ever fully satisfied. You always want more. And that's what he ends up having. What he knows is really self-knowledge. And it's not surprising to me because of what I see all around me in the world today, that we seem to need more and more and more. It's never enough.
And you bring that out in the book. The book is Lonely Expiation, and it's interesting as we're dealing with the character, as you say, in intellect, he's there. In terms of knowledge, he gets things done. But when it comes to dealing with emotions, he really struggles with that. Is that something that you witnessed yourself in all the years of consulting and, of course, in corporate America? Was that an element that was missing, a quality missing in a number of people? They're so focused on the goal, they forget the emotions it takes to actually get there.
Yeah, no, that's true. But emotion is different than feeling. I sense that emotion is something which takes over. It dominates you. But feeling is something that you can cultivate. So that, for example, love can be both an emotion and it can also be a feeling. And when it's an emotion, well, we know what that leads to. But when it's a feeling, it means that you become changed as a human being. And Armand, the villain in this particular book, Lonely Expiation, he doesn't allow any feelings to enter his decision making. And as a result, because he doesn't have any experience in controlling and working with his feelings, in the end, they get the better of him. They overcome him and becomes emotion that really dominates his whole last part of this book.
It's interesting, in Collision, he had his two henchmen that he had by his side carrying out all of his nefarious functions as he was going through this process. Do we see them reprised in Lonely Expiation?
Well, don't forget, one of them died in the first book.
Yes, yes.
And so Cliff was still there for here, and he plays a very dominant role. He's really the number two person for Armand, and Armand does everything through Cliff, so he's still in this book, but I don't know whether I should give away what happens to him. It's a kind of a sad conclusion of his relationship to Armand, and I better not tell anything about that because it's really an important element in the book. You have to read the first part in order to really grasp the significance of what happens to Cliff.
And it's a book that once you start reading, you're going to want to continue to read it. It takes twists and turns. It's got an ending that you're probably not going to see coming. And talking about the two henchmen, I didn't want to give away that the two weren't there if you had not read Collision. It's so difficult talking about the book because there's so many great elements there and don't want to give away too much of it, just enough that you're going, okay, there's really a great storyline there as well. And let's talk about the wife of Armand and her maturation as she goes through this process. It's interesting as we see characters change during the course of Lonely Expiation.
Yes. Yes, that's one of the things I really wanted to bring out in all my books, that the development of human beings, both through the experiences they have, but also through the entanglements with others, and also the tragic elements in life. And the wife of Armand suffers a great deal, and she goes through several tragedies. And as a result of that, and I think this is true of life, as a result of that suffering, she seems to mature from being a headstrong, incredibly vivacious and challenging young woman to a more mature and understanding and wisdom-filled person in the course of the book. But actually, every one of the characters, there are 12 of them altogether, every one of them goes through some sort of development. Some of them don't progress very far. Others fall back a little bit, and the wife of Armand is the one that develops the greatest amount of increased wisdom and understanding and compassion as the result of her own suffering.
We see some of the characters in the book go through this moral dilemma. We have people that we see as the good guys, and the concessions that they're forced to make ended up basically fighting fire with fire and losing a little bit of the purity and giving up maybe a little bit of their principles along the way to be able to survive. Talk about that, why that was important for you to get across. And once again, did you see that in corporate life where sometimes you have to maybe take a gray area when you're a black and white type person?
Yeah, you know, well, it's always a big question is if you deal with evil or you deal with the misdeeds of others, it sort of rubs off on you. I know that the worst kind of corruption is when it's in the judicial system or in the law enforcement system. And part of the corruption, I think, is a natural consequence of having to deal with the crimes day in and day out. I think it's to be expected. So the only safeguard against that is to have a certain transparency, a certain openness, which allows people at least to have a chance at avoiding the worst elements of it. But in this book, in Lonely Expiation, the evil that is caused by Armand is never repeated by the so-called good guys in the book. However, in order to achieve some sort of victory over Armand, they have to resort to a few devices which they're not very proud of. And at the very end of the book, I can give this part of away, they actually wonder whether there was any way to really be in the world and remain purely good, or whether just being a human being and having to do with the world, some of it tends to rub off whether you like it or not.
That's one of the really interesting benefits, joys of reading Lonely Expiation. You go through a series like that, a segment in the book, and you sort of stop and you look away and you think, okay, what would I do in that situation? It seems easy to go in this direction, but when you're faced with those circumstances, it'd be pretty easy to go and you can justify going in another direction. The book is Lonely Expiation. Siegfried Finzer is the author and our guest back on the program. We had him on as we talked about the book Collision, which is still available. If you go to Siegfried's website, which is very simple, Finzer, F-I-N-S-E-R, publications.com, you can get information on the book. Amazon.com, bookventure.com/bookstore, Barnes & Noble, you can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly to all of the websites and get information on Siegfried's book. It's interesting, in the book, Armand, the villain, seems to cause his own downfall. A lot of the steps he takes along the way end up being negative in terms of his success, his thriving. Is that unusual in crime stories where you see a situation unfold like that?
I don't know. I see it in a lot of Sherlock Holmes, for example.
Yes.
Maybe it has to do with something which we could call conscience, or maybe there's something in every human being that just which wants to sort of counter or make amends or want. I think that's why expiation is really good for part of the title of this book, because there's something in Armand that causes him to bring about his own downfall, and I believe it's probably at the root of almost every crime solving that occurs, that the villain finds a way to undo their own deed in the course of time and bring about their own punishment. Why else would so many criminals return to the scene of their crime? I mean, it's rarely just to relish what they did. They're not overjoyed, but there's something in them that is drawn back, and almost as if there's something has to be called out of their soul to be able to deal with the consequences of what they did.
The book we're talking about is Lonely Expiation. Expiation is E-X-P-I-A-T-I-O-N. Book is available at the usual places, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookventure.com. You can link on directly by going to our website, This Week in America. A couple minutes left with the author, Siegfried Finzer. In the book, you weave in stories about Waldorf education. I mentioned a former Waldorf teacher and your work with the Rudolf Steiner Foundation. Let's talk about that a little bit. Working it in, and these are maybe terms that people are not all that familiar with. And I love, because we talked about Waldorf last time, where the one character in the book is talking about how much his daughter loves going to school because of the Waldorf education. Let's talk about that first of all. Exactly what is Waldorf?
Well, Waldorf education or Rudolf Steiner education, or there are different names for it, but it's known throughout the world as Waldorf education, was the curriculum for it, and the approach to education was developed by someone called Rudolf Steiner. And he's a remarkable individual. As the result of this educational process, I think a lot of what Dewey had in mind, namely the whole person, really comes to fruition. The whole person, meaning body, soul, and spirit. And in the education that's prevalent today in our culture, only the intellect seems to be developed. In other words, our schools are developing Armand-type people. Armand Dillon is the model for the education that's traditionally in our schools, where the intellect is the only quality of the human being that somehow is brought to the forefront, while the whole soul and the realm of feeling, and then a body that is under the control of the spirit of the human being, that doesn't get a chance to develop in many schools. But in Waldorf education, it does get a chance. And you know how? They do it by integrating art, music, and a love of nature, and the miracle of all that's to be found in life. And they have a wonderful morning verse that the children say each day as they welcome every day and bring their whole being into connection with it in a new way. Waldorf education is way ahead of its time. I think there will come a time, maybe it's 200 years from now, I don't know, but there'll come a time when almost all education that humanity is using will be based on the Waldorf approach, just as the current education in many of our public schools and so on is really based on something that was developed in ancient Rome. That's how old our current educational approach is.
It is a fascinating topic, and those issues, those topics, those subjects you talked about are the ones that in public school we keep cutting because we don't have money, so it's pretty easy to do art and music and nature study and all of that that end up getting cut because of tight budgets. This is such an excellent book. So many issues you deal with there. Lonely Expiation. It's E-X-P-I-A-T-I-O-N. The time has gone by, as it always does, way too quickly. But you've got another book coming out very shortly, and hopefully we'll be able to talk about that. So you're staying quite active. I love what you do. I love the different layers, the different tones of the book. And you've got a new book that should be out very soon, I understand.
Yes, that's right. It's the final book in this trilogy, and it's called Crisis at the Threshold, where one of the individuals in the book, and I won't tell you which one, but one of them gets far enough so that they're able to approach the border between the spiritual world and the physical world, and they're developing to the point where they're just about there. And, you know, I'm only 85 years old, so, you know, I have to keep doing something, you know, to make the world and the universe allow me to continue living a little longer.
Well, and you're doing that, and that's why you're a very, very young 85, because you keep thinking and writing and entertaining all of us with your thinking and your writings. Siegfried Finzer has been our guest on the program. The website is FinzerPublications.com. The current book we're talking about is Lonely Expiation. And of course, you can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on to all of the websites, get information on this and other books written by Siegfried. Sir, it is always a pleasure. Look forward to doing it again. Excellent job with Lonely Expiation. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you. So good to be talking with you again.
Thank you. It is always our pleasure, and information available on Siegfried and all of his books at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Stay tuned. We're right back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.